Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy, and with me is the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia. Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. We're recording this as live on June 10th, Friday. We're doing this a little early because you got to go support your buddy, your buddies getting married. So we're doing this a little early. So, you know, we're getting ready to do that and, you know, recovering a little bit. Partied so hard, you know, celebrating the 1 year anniversary yesterday. Just, you know, just a lot of drinking, a lot of being merry and stuff like that. But, you know, well, we're back and at it again today. So, you know, ready to go.
Yeah, my my desk mat is back on top of my desk. I'm not going to spill any beer on top of this, you know, five minutes into our podcast.
We're all business today. No liquid fun or anything like that. Today we just got regular coffee, got regular mocha, whatever you got, and I got water. A bottle of water. Yeah, so we're all business today.
This is liquid fun. Come on, liquid fun.
This is our work face. This is our game face.
But yeah, I just could not imagine that we, you know, before we actually did it, that 5 minutes into the first ever video version of the podcast, as well as the live recording of the podcast, and I spill something right away. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, my screw up was during the live stream, the co-stream, even the pre-show. So like nobody really, unless you were there, you probably didn't really see that. I guess unless you go watch the replay of me trying to open a bottle of beer, which was apparently very difficult for me at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10:45 in the morning, whenever it was. But you were doing it on the stream, so that's going to live in infamy now. You're doing it on the actual podcast. So way to go, buddy.
Yeah, and that's right over on our YouTube channel, where you can catch this version of the podcast as well over at youtube.com/pressstart28. But yeah, no spilling this time. So we will get that out of the way. And as you did make mention, yes, the reason we are recording this early is I will be out of town because my best friend or one of my best friends are getting married. Zach and Lucy are getting married. So shout out to them again. I gave them a shout out recently on the podcast, and so they get another shout out this time. Yeah, they'll
congratulations.
Be, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They'll be getting married. They'll realize how much of a terrible mistake it is to get married. No, I'm just kidding. I obviously love my wife, so that's not the case. I was about to say,
you better not let her hear that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to actually joke about that because I do love...
Looking over your shoulder for that one already.
Oh, crap. All right. Anyway, but everybody, thank you so much for tuning in here to the One More Game Podcast. This is a podcast that is centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, whether it's Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. If there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what your service offers. And if your service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game Podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every Friday. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out the submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode. And obviously not in this version, but of course in future episodes you will be able to leave comments in our YouTube streams. Again, that link is going to be youtube.com/pressstart28. But if this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen, and I hope you enjoy your stay. If you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So, Pete, in the last 24 hours, what have you been playing lately?
It wasn't a long time, but I did get to dabble in the game that you so graciously got me on the one-year anniversary, Resonance of Fate. I played about 90 minutes of it last night, and... it was a lot, I'm not going to lie, but we did some of the practice run for like learning how to like actually get work through the battle system a little bit. I'm not 100% knowledgeable of what I'm supposed to be doing, but I think I'm starting to figure it out. It sounds like I'm supposed to get some like weird energy cells to like build up on the map a little bit. And at first I was kind of confused exactly how to do that, but I was able to like finally I figured out. At first I thought you had to like... So, Jeremy, you're probably more knowledgeable of this. I don't know how many of the actual listeners and viewers are going to be knowledgeable about. But basically there's like a bunch of blank spots on the map that's set up like a hexagonal grid, and you get these little things to like build on the map. And at first I thought you could only put the they call them energy cells. It's usually like a set blocks of like several, usually four, the ones I've been getting so far. I assume that changes the further you go into the game. But so I thought you can only do it on like the places that aren't actually built up yet. So I was like, well, am I only supposed to get one hexagon? Because there was one spot, like they call it like the Rainbow Bridge or Rainy Bridge or something like that, where they only had one spot. And I was like, well, I'm not getting one spot. I keep getting four. So how does this work? But then I finally figured out that, oh, it doesn't actually have to go on like the places that aren't built up. You could just plot it in there and just like connect it on the one. So then I figured that out, and we were starting to plug along a little bit after that. The battle system is really fun and also really feels really complicated. I don't even know if it's actually that complicated, or just because it seems like there's so much going on, it feels complicated. But I'm starting to get used to that as well. So, you know, I'm looking forward to playing more of it. And that was about as far as I got, because like I said, I only played like an hour and a half or so. I didn't really dive too much into it. You know, it was only like 24 hours since, yeah, you know, we've last recorded an episode at this point. But so that was as far as I got, and it was pretty interesting. The opening cinematic was really cool. Had me asking a lot of questions about exactly what that was all about. But, you know, the character, the main trio so far of Vacheron, Zephyr, and Leanne, who I guess in Japanese, because that's, I didn't know if I could change the audio or not. So it's in Japanese. They call her Rainbell, which is kind of a little different than Leanne. But so I'm plugging along in that and getting used to some of the controls and stuff like that. And, you know, hopefully next time we record, I'll be a lot further in the game and, you know, have a better idea of whether I'm as big a fan of you as it is or not.
Yeah, so first off, yes, you can change the audio, so you'll have to just kind of look in the settings to adjust it. That was something that was added in the 4K remaster, because if I remember correctly, in the original, you couldn't change the audio, so you just, yeah, it's always the English voice acting.
I know Zephyr's voice actor in Japanese is Hiro Shimono, I believe is how you pronounce the name. He's been in a ton of stuff in anime and video games. I hear him all the time when it comes to that kind of stuff, so it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, and I'm okay with reading subtitles. It was just, I did see that there was English voice actors, and I was like, I wonder if there's a way to change that if I really wanted to. But
yeah, so there definitely is. And there, and the English voice acting, I don't know voice actors' names very well, as you already know that.
I'm a nerd like that, so that's why.
You're fine. But there are of course, recognizable voice actors as well in that game. And I will tell you, when you asked, you know, if the combat is complicated or not, I'm going to just answer with yes. Because it's both. It's not as complicated as it seems, but it is complicated. So a lot of people recommend, because true factor of the game, one of the detriments I will say of Resonance of Fate, is to like truly understand the combat well, the game doesn't do a great job explaining it. So there are, of course, YouTube videos that you can go and check out and get a much better grasp of what's going on when it comes to the combat, how you should handle it, things of that nature. But I do have to ask you, because as I made mention, I've never beaten Resonance of Fate. I love that game. I want to get it to go back to beat it. Just talk real quick, the general census of the combat. Did you at least find it as fun and flashy that I described it in our five games that deserve more praise?
It was definitely flashy. There's a lot of jumping around and flipping around and stuff like that. That was really cool and unique. The way it's set up is kind of like if you ever played Trails in the Sky kind of game, one of those kind of games, because it's set up as like a battle grid for the listeners. And you kind of like move your characters around, and at first I thought like you were just like, you'd click A and like aim it at a kind of thing and let there's like a target that like kind of like builds up the closer you are to the enemy, and the faster it builds, and then you get to like actually do stuff with it. I found out after playing a couple, going through the, like you said, not great, but they do have a training aspect to kind of like help you understand, like there's other things involved in combat, but like you get set up so your character moves from like one spot on the battle map to another, and as you're running across, you can also like shoot and run and like dodge and like stuff like that. And while that's going on, the opponents are also moving. So like you, like there was one battle I remember I had my guy like standing, I had moved my guy in the first combat, and then he was standing in one spot and there was like some like guard dog or something that was like running up to him. So I had the other, one of my other characters like running by and like shooting the guard dog to stop it from like actually attacking my first dude. And there was also some other stuff where like, this is the resonance part, I guess, of Resonance of Fate, where when you run between two characters, it kind of like builds up another special thing where you can get like a tri-attack, and then all your characters are attacking and doing stuff at like kind of the same time while you're diving back and forth and that kind of thing. So it was really flashy. I had fun doing it. It was just like, especially the first battle, because I, the way to do the training is you have to go to a, not your starting town, you have to go to another town. So I was attacked before I got to that second, it wasn't a town, it's like a battle arena or something. I got attacked before then, so I like was like, is this like a training thing? Or they're just like, nope, you're on your own, buddy. And I was like, yeah. I mean, it was like a, or it was like a, you know, level one mooks or whatever. So I mean, it wasn't hard, but I was just like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I supposed to do? This is weird. And just stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I got to the arena and did some of the training. And like I said, like you said, it wasn't as thorough as it probably should be, but it did give me like a little bit of like practice into like some of the mechanics. So it that definitely helped a lot, even though, like you said, it could have been more thorough and helpful.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing, of course, more of your thoughts as you continue through the journey of Resonance of Fate. And just in general, again, to feel like, does the combat continue to suck you in? Because that's for me, was always the most fun part about Resonance of Fate, even if it is confusing, but not as confusing as my mind always wanted it to be out to be. That flashiness, the way that the camera angles turn and all that jazz, like that was the coolest part.
Yeah, because so. you could jump, you have your characters jump and then like have them shoot while they're in midair and stuff like that. So that part was like, oh, that's actually kind of badass.
Yeah, exactly. For myself, I played 30 minutes of Ghostwire Tokyo, and in that 30 minutes, I'm enjoying it so far. I dove into it a little bit last night, obviously with all the things that we had to do for getting the One More Game podcast episode up, of course doing the live stream of Summer Game Fest, and then I had PSWF afterwards, then editing some things. So like I had a very busy day yesterday, and of course coming up with today's show topics, so it was definitely a very busy one. But Ghostwire Tokyo, of course, for those that don't know, is currently a PS5 and PC exclusive. I very well will say by the time, I think in like 6 months to a year, it will be on Xbox, because it is made by Tango Gameworks, of course, at Bethesda Studio, and that is now owned by Microsoft. So, of course, that will be at some point in the next year. I think it's probably going to be a one-year exclusivity deal. But it starts off and you kind of like get thrown into the world really quickly. There isn't a whole lot of explanation right away. There's a little cutscene to kind of, you know, introduce you into things that are going on. But it as always, it kind of throws you into the midst of something, and you're going to find out things as it slowly goes on. But I enjoy the combat so far. It's basically a shooter, but using like, I guess I would describe it as ghost energy. I don't know. That's the way that I would describe it. Or using like Dragon Ball Z, like it's like ki energy that you like shoot out with your hands to deal damage and stuff.
Spirit energy or whatever.
Yeah, spirit energy. That's a good one as well. And so it's one of those things where like you gotta aim and shoot at your enemies, and then of course there are some scenes where you gotta sneak around in between hallways to try to catch the advantage on some, of course, enemies that you gotta fight. And it ends up kind of ending in that opening sequence. This isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailers for the game, but you're basically playing as Akito, and he's trying to get his sister Mari. And in that opening sequence, basically this group of people, or the big bads, essentially the on the front cover of the game, steal your sister and in a sense kill you. But you don't die per se, like you somehow survive it. And part of that is because of this ghost named KK that is sharing your body with you. But that's kind of where I got. I finished the first chapter, started to get to the second chapter, and then it was already basically time for me to go to bed. So I haven't booted it up so far this morning. I will be planning to do said that. And I also plan to hopefully, by the time we have our next episode, play a little bit of Metal Max Xeno Reborn, because I did tell you yesterday, of course, when you guys are listening to this a week ago, that I canceled my pre-order because I had too many games. Well, I woke up today and actually won a copy of that game from the publisher. So now I have the game.
Oh, yeah. Way to go.
So I'm going to...
You just knew it was coming. That's why you canceled it. You're just like, I'm going to get this.
That's what Zach actually said, the person I'm going for the wedding, said too. He was like, you just knew that you needed it, apparently. And I was like, no. He goes, why did you cancel your pre-order? I told him because I had too many games. He goes, the universe doesn't agree because they said you need it anyway.
Right. The universe has spoken.
Yeah, so I will dive into that and I will see how it goes. But I am happy to see, while it is still getting mixed reviews, it's getting higher review scores than the original Metal Max Xeno. So that's I am cool. happy in that regards to see the combat and how that unfolds. And I do, now that I've seen the gameplay firsthand, because the trailer doesn't really show you this, the combat is almost looking like Final Fantasy 12 in a sense. So I'm
not the biggest fan of that, but that's interesting.
Correct. So that's why I wonder how I'm actually going to feel on it, because I'm not a huge fan of Final Fantasy XII's combat, but I did enjoy so far of what I've played of Final Fantasy XII. So we'll see how that goes. But we've been talking about what we've been playing for quite a bit. So let's get into the meat and potatoes, or of course, as I like to always say, the juicy burger, vegan burger, excuse me, of the show. And that is, of course, our main and only topic that we really have for this episode. Of course, since it is being recorded a week earlier, we can't really talk about Xbox Bethesda and their announcements. We can't really talk about Capcom and their announcements. We just got to talk about a different topic. And so the topic really stems from last week's episode, of course, as of recording yesterday's episode, following Summer Games Fest, and just the disappointment that you and I carried coming out of it. And it's been a discussion that's been going on for quite a bit of time. So it's not really hashing a new topic, but it's more so re-bringing the topic up because of the current events. And that is, do us gamers need a summer event to actually happen? So, of course, there's been discussions for many years because of how E3 had slowly dwindled into obscurity. Of course, it's not obscure, but it's just no longer carried the weight that it normally had. And Summer Game Fest really feeling like a dud last week. Do we need that event? So I'm going to just kind of turn the floor to you real quick, Pete. In your opinion, do gamers need a summer event?
I'm going to say yes. Gaming in general, like their main like focus, I guess, would be for like the blockbuster games. The blockbuster movies come out during summer. Blockbuster games come out generally, it feels like, not that they don't come out at other times, but usually like the big ones are like, we want you to buy these things for Christmas. So they come out in like mid to late fall, like October, a lot in November, sometimes early December. I mean, that's part of the reason why these gaming companies, they have their fiscal years go until March, so they can get the numbers for that, those Christmas sales, you know, and the ones just right after when, you know, the people maybe like they return a bunch of the Christmas presents they don't want, or all the Christmas money they still have after the fact, they spend it on games after the fact. They want all those numbers on those fiscal years. That's part of the reason why they do that. They go until March of the following year. But there's really nothing that's like kind of in between that. There's a lot of like, oh, well, this game like Elden Ring might come out. But like, you know, there's not a whole lot of that going on. And because of later fall, like it'd be really odd to have like game announcements at the same time. I know the Game Awards sometimes has a few of those during their thing, like, and that's supposed to be like Jeff Keighley's big event now, in the winter towards the end of the year thing. They have some big announcements for the following year. That's also like a year away of when a lot of these games would be released. Not that all of a sudden the games are going to be released a lot faster when they have a summer release, but it's just something that it's kind of like how Memorial Day is like the unofficial kickoff of summer. Like E3 was always kind of like an official kickoff, unofficial kickoff of like almost like summer convention season, kind of, because you had like San Diego Comic-Con, Anime Expo. You know, E3 was like kind of like the first one of all that, because it'd be in like middle or late May. You have Anime Central in Chicago and stuff like that. I think that you could have they should be a summer event. And I don't think it'd be super difficult. I don't think it'd be super difficult to schedule. I think the biggest difficulty is like getting a lot of these game companies on board, because they're just like, well, why don't we just do our own thing? Like, you know, like Microsoft is a lot of it is just like, why do we need to do the thing for set up with you? We could just do our own thing. We already have, now they have they'll have Activision Blizzard, and they already have Bethesda. I mean, that's like three of them right there that they can just have. And it's like, hey, instead of having three separate ones, we'll just have one long hour or hour long one and just do them all at the same time. Like or whenever we have something major coming up, like State of Play did last a couple weeks ago at this point. You know, why do we got to wait for a specific time? We'll just do it whenever we want to, or the Nintendo Directs and all that stuff. So that's probably the biggest restriction on all that, is getting these companies involved. And I mean, that might be too big of a restriction to overcome, because you got to give them a benefit. And the only benefit would be like, I mean, you can't really, it wouldn't be monetarily. You can't really say like, oh, a connection to the audience or whatever, or their followers, their fans, because it's just like, well, if we're doing it anyway, like, it doesn't really matter if we're doing it on your time or on our time. So I think that's the biggest like holdup for all of this. But I do think it's a big thing for fans, because it's like, it's like you just get to see all these big announcements, all these big, you know, new gameplay, new trailers. You know, it gets you hyped up for games that are coming up later on in the year, in the fall and winter. To set up for Christmas sale rush, and even games that are coming up, you know, in 12 to 18 months from now, games are coming up in the following year, games that might be coming up, like, you know, like a reveal trailer for like a game. It's like, this game's coming out in like 18, it won't be out this winter, but it'll be out next winter. And then, you know, you can like kind of build on that. You build on the next, summer really, reveal or whatever, you get, you know, an actual like awesome gameplay trailer or something like that. And you could kind of build it up from there, kind of like you got the reveal trailer at the Summer Games Fest 2022 for a game that's coming out in, you know, around Christmas time, 23. You have like the actual trailer at Video Game Awards. And then you have like, you know, the gameplay trailer when you're closer on finished product over at the next, you know, Summer Games Fest or E3 in 2023 for a game that's coming out in fall of 2023. You know, you got like kind of like a natural progression and that kind of thing. But again, like a lot of developers are just like, well, why do we got to wait for you? Why don't we just do the thing? You know, because a lot of gamers are just like, they're just naturally online. So they'll find that information if they're really that interested in it. You know, it'll pop up on their YouTube feeds based on the recommendations and whatever, and on the algorithms or on Twitter. So I think that might be the biggest holdup, is just getting these developers, especially the bigger ones, on board.
I agree with you in that last sentiment about the biggest holdup is going to be getting the big companies on board. I also agree with you. I think that there is still a need for a summer event. And it mostly stems from, and part of this could be just nostalgia factor, but I just still think that having a unified week or weekend of announcements and excitement just brings a sense and basically a tidal wave of talk, discussion, support, all that jazz. And it also really helps highlight some of the developers themselves, using, you know, Summer Game Fest yesterday exclusively. Neil Druckmann, the co-president of Naughty Dog, being on stage, while a lot of people know who he is and what he brings to the table and stuff, at one time, people didn't, right? So getting a chance to kind of have these discussions with these developers all at once when a lot of eyes are on the table can be a big thing in promoting talent inside the industry, as you talked about with voice acting. You know names, right? Well, I think that we're still, for a lot of gamers, they don't know the directors or the staff members that work on all their games. They just know the games or the studio. So sometimes getting a chance to do that is going to be a good thing.
There's a lot of people that are fans of those too, and a lot of media, not just in like movies. Like, they're fans of them in cartoons. You know, like early in Cartoon Network's area with like Dexter's Lab and all that. I'm gonna butcher this name, but Genndy Tarkovsky, like, did a lot of those like early Cartoon Network, like What a Cartoon things. Like, he was involved in a lot of that stuff, and a lot of people like follow that kind of a lot of people follow his work and love his work, and you know, same thing with anime. You know, like particular like composers, you know, that's another big one in video games, is, you know, composers and stuff like that. And people like are fans of these, and like you said, it gives people an opportunity to actually meet and connect with them as well.
Yeah. And so going back to what I was saying to finish is that I think that it's needed, but it's the way that Summer Games Fest held this one most recently highlights the need for self-awareness at the same time to put on an event that is within the context of what you got. So we used yesterday, for example, I think, Pete, you had a better timestamp on this, but it was like an hour and 50-something minutes that Summer Games Fest Kickoff Live ran. That did not need to be an hour and 50 some odd minutes, because it just didn't have the announcements to fill and sustain that hour and 50 minutes. And keep in mind, I know that you got to pay the bills. I know that you have to, of course, get advertisers so that way you can, of course, pay what you got and keep building for future events. But this isn't TV. It's not like you are filling a time slot in a 24-hour schedule on a network where you really have a hard start and a hard out for most events. As Pete and I worked in television, we know how much behind the scenes things really, really matter around that start time and that end time and having to adjust on the fly. You can make this as long or as short as you wanted. And I really think Summer Games Fest Kickoff Live this year in particular, it had what could have been some really cool announcements if it was more in a cohesive, back-to-back, almost flashiness with very little breaks in between. And then you do maybe an event after the main show that people can stick around and check out, where it is those sit down talks with the developers and the interviewers and the people talking about their various games. And that is the better format. The way that I look at it in that regards would be similar to a Nintendo Direct, where Nintendo Direct, they haven't done it recently, but they used to do a Nintendo Direct. The Direct would be about 45 minutes to an hour. And then they would follow it up with what they would call a Nintendo Treehouse. And the Nintendo Treehouse was always a sit-down, long extended look at the video games that maybe were talked about during the Direct. But then they'd be talking with the developers and getting some insights onto what did they do when they were approaching this game? How did they plan for developments and aspects, and like what new things might be coming to this sequel of a game? And I feel like that's better than what we got yesterday. But I'm going to circle back to why I say, again, that it's necessary, is because if we get to this trickle point, this trickle effect, even if it is big announcements where it's like, okay, March, PlayStation's having their PS showcase, not the State of Play, but they're having their PS showcase. And, June, Xbox announces they're going to do their event. And, oh, it's now 8 August. Ubisoft is like, hey, we have an event coming up. And EA's like, oh, don't worry about us. We're here in September. I feel like that stretch is so thin. It's nice on paper that you're getting announcements all throughout the year. But I feel like it stretches so many things thin that it leads to, the longer it would go on, into white noise. Where even if it is big announcements, you're going to have a lot of gamers being like, oh, I don't need to worry about tuning in. I'll just find out the information later. And that's not what you want as a big company, as a big publisher in any regards. You want people to feel like, I must see this. I need to check this out. And if you get everyone to play ball and go in a week-long event, that is much easier for people to just set time aside to check out those things. And again, like you use the examples of Comic-Cons and stuff. Comic-Cons are so fun because it is where like all people with like-minded interests get to come together and just nerd out. And that's what I still feel is needed and is healthy for us as gamers.
So going back to your requested timestamp, it was approximately 1 hour, 54 minutes and 15 seconds was the total runtime from when they actually put up the viewer discretion is advised disclaimer and then officially went to the thank you for coming. So give or take, but basically an hour and 54 minutes is essentially the runtime.
And it felt every second of it.
It felt every second of that hour and 54 minutes. So yeah, I agree with you. And going back to your point about how it allows for people to make more time to like focus on a thing, I also don't think that just because you have like a week long of like, oh, we're gonna have a bunch of major reveals and stuff like that, I don't think that has to replace like take away from like your directs or stuff like that. Like maybe like for some of these bigger companies or whatever, any of these developers, like they have like their one big game that they're working on. And that's what we show at the Summer Games Fest. And then you keep the little like Sony State of Plays and stuff like that. And then Nintendo Directs and kind of just have those like, you know, on all the other games, like maybe like, you know, a Nintendo, if they're part of E3, they're like, all right, we're going to celebrate X anniversary of Fire Emblem this and this one. And we'll have some other stuff too. But this is going to be like what you're going to be here for. And not like they'll say this at first, but like after you watch it, you'll understand like this is the Fire Emblem stream. This is the Fire Emblem reveal. You know, we got, you know, whatever Fire Emblem new edition is coming out. That's what we're going to show showcase. And that's what we're going to focus on while also showing some other stuff. And that way, you know, yeah, you got the big reveal and like maybe you don't necessarily like get all of the Nintendo fans as you would like maybe if you were doing like a Mario game at that point or something like that. But, you know, you're going to like, you know, that leaves you like, all right, we're going to have our Nintendo Direct be like, it's going to be the Mario game. And then the next Nintendo Direct, it'll be like, you know, a new Pokemon game or something like that. Or I guess this year it would have been Pokemon, I guess, because it would have been Scarlet and Violet. You know, you would have focused a crap ton on that. And like, you know, Sony, I don't think Last of Us is specifically Sony, but like, you know,
oh no, it is. Last of Us is a Sony
specifically
studio.
Sony?
Naughty Dog is a Sony studio.
Yeah, it is a Sony studio. I didn't know if they like eventually like ported that over to another one. So they could have just done The Last of Us as like, this is The Last of Us. We're doing all notoriety, all focus on that. But also we got this other stuff like they did at the State of Play, you know, and like, showed that stuff too. And then like, you know, cause like, Imagine you had like The Last of Us, you were doing that kind of thing and you ended with that, which, you know, we've talked about how the lasting image and stuff like that, but like, what if you had like in the middle of that, like you had like not necessarily a state of play, maybe you shortened it down to like 15 minutes, but you had like a 15 minute bit during the Summer Games Fest where you're doing all this stuff. You start out with the Street Fighter 6, you would have shown Guile, spoiled him as an actual character. And then in the midpoint, you know, you show the Final Fantasy 16 trailer, or if you're going to do a state of play, it's you just wait, have the Final Fantasy 16 state of play during the state of play. But then you have The Last of Us and that's your focus. And then, like you said, you're like, hey, like you were saying, hey, this is the end of our Summer Games Fest showcase or whatever they call the live stream, official live stream. Stay tuned. We're going to have Neil Druckmann to come on and talk about. We're going to do a sit down interview with him, like a 20, 25 minute. We're going to talk to him. You're going to get to meet him. You know, we're going to have some questions for him about the game, some other stuff that he's done, some other stuff that he's interested in doing in video games. We're also going to bring on, you know, the voice actors for the main characters in Last of Us. We're going to talk to them. They already had Troy Baker, Ashley Johnson, right? Correct? Am I getting that name right? Okay, cool. I didn't screw that one up. I was a little concerned about that. but we're going to have them on too. We're going to interview them. And like, you know, we're going to have like a 30 to 45 minute total, like Last of Us stream talking about, you know, how it's going to be on HBO Max. Then you promote like, hey, you stick around for that. At the end of that, we're going to also show you a bit of the HBO Max show. We're going to show you a brand new reveal trailer for it, or we're going to show you like a clip of clip of a scene from the actual show, or just like we're going to show you gameplay from the new remake too. If you stick around for that, you want to see that, you know. And then you just have like a 30 45 minute thing after that, and you don't have this really long ending of like 15 20 minutes of Last of Us where, hey, not everybody's a biggest fan of Last of Us. Why are we all necessarily sitting through this? Because it's just like you mentioned in the podcast last week, it was just kind of like, okay, we're done. Bye. You know, stick around for another stream after this talking about stuff. It's like, oh, well, that was kind of a random end.
Yeah. You know? I want to say just real quick off of that, and Zyra heard a noise, so she's going to be barking in the background. But I really felt, and I know that it has a pull, but it honestly felt like, why did we have the Last of Us HBO aspect there when all we got was an image, a still image of it? And we did focus on it for quite a bit of time. Like, it wasn't like it was a passing talk. Sorry. I'm gonna leave you with this question while I take care of Zyra real quick. How much of it is that the big heads are scared to be forgotten if they come together again?
I do think there's a little bit of contention around that. There's a little bit of the bigger developers, they don't want to be outdone by another developer, and I think that might also be part of it. Like, if Sony comes up and they show, you know, a new Spider-Man game, the sequel to the Spider-Man PS4 game and the Miles Morales series that they got going on, and then they show, you know, another big massive title, and then they show The Last of Us 2, and then you go to Nintendo Direct and they're like, we got Pokemon, we got you know, a new Fire Emblem game coming out, we got you know, I don't think they're adding any new characters anymore at this point to the newest Smash, but like, hey, we got these two new Smash characters we got coming up, and you know, they do all this thing, and we already talked about it. Xbox comes up and Microsoft hasn't made a game for Xbox, and it doesn't seem like they're going to release one this year. And they're like, oh, we don't have a whole lot, but we bought Activision Blizzard. So, I mean, there's that and that kind of thing. So I don't know if that would be like one of the biggest reasons for like the bigger studios to be like, we don't want to be outdone. But I could understand like there being a little bit of hesitance. I think your point might have been more towards not like the Microsofts or whatever of the world, but like the next tier below, like the EAs and stuff like that. And they're just like, yeah, we don't really have a whole lot to show you this year. And, you know, people would be like, well, that's dumb. That sucks. And like people not understanding like, hey, games are really hard to make sometimes and they take a long time. And maybe because we saw one yesterday, we actually had a trailer they were supposed to show. I believe the game was called Replaced, yes, something like that. And they had, you know, Jeff Keighley's like had to apologize on their behalf. They apologized as well, I'm sure. They were very apologetic. Obviously, they want their stuff to be out there. And they're just like, you know, hope everything's working out okay. And we hear, you know, press start are super like, yeah, take all the time you need. But sometimes you just like, hey, we got this thing going on. And we need to get it done. And like, maybe they just don't get it done. And that sucks. And yeah, like a lot of, and that's that's probably more detrimental for like the smaller indie studios, because they're just like, hey, they're like hyping that like, we're going to have this thing ready for the Summer Games Fest. We're going to have this thing ready for E3. Y'all are going to be wowed. And then it comes and it's just like, oh, whoops.
And obviously in Replace case, you know, the conflict that's going on, the war in Ukraine is basically halted them. So, of course, you know, that made total sense there. And, of course, good on Jeff to kind of say, you know, even though they couldn't show anything, to just get the game out there, get the name still out there for recognition sakes, and say, like, hey, just continue to look forward to this type of thing. But I want to go back to what you said with, like, the EA aspect. Obviously, if you don't have anything to show, then don't show it. Just don't have a presence, you know, really at said event. And that's kind of where I was going back with my original thought of, like, you could make any showcase as long as you want and as short as you want. You know, if you don't have the things, you don't have to show it. You can feature it in different ways, especially if you do a week-long event, right? It could be a commercial somewhere throughout the show, or it could be a sit-down discussion just being like, hey, we don't have anything new to show, but let's talk with, you know, let's use Dead Space Remake, since that's one of the big EA games coming up. We don't have anything new for Dead Space Remake to show, but we do have the opportunity to sit down with the developers to talk a little bit about some of the insights that they've had over the time of this development, or what are some things that they've learned from the original to this remake that gamers may take notice of. You know, those are ways to still feature those big companies. But the way that I would go about it, and the way that I feel that should happen when it comes to, if the big players don't want to play ball when it comes to, you know, spilling all their beans at a major event, why not limit it to one or two things from each company, right? Mm-hmm. Then that way, yes, there is still a chance. There's always going to be a chance that you get overlooked, right? Let's just say that for real time's sake. If PS State of Play, that happened last week, if Bethesda Xbox has a 100% knockout show this Sunday, which of course, you know, we're recording it before it happens, if that has a lights out show, there is a very real chance PS State of Play gets overlooked. Now, you're still going to have people talk about it, right? But when it comes to dominating discussions, PS State of Play may end up going under the back burner. Vice versa, if Xbox Bethesda does not have a dominant showcase, PS State of Play may still dominate conversations. You may still have Xbox talk, but just not too much. That, you always have that risk. But if you get people to do a week event, which we're kind of getting slightly with this showcase, then you could do, hey, here is, in the State of Play, we are showing off, you know, Last of Us Part 1 Remake, and we're also going to show off Marvel Spider-Man is coming to PC, as well as Miles Morales. But check out later on in the month, we're going to have our PS State of Play, or you do, you know, some other things there. And Xbox Bethesda could be like, you know, again, just saying that they do this. Maybe they go like, hey, Hellblade Senua's Saga at kickoff Game Fest is coming out this year. And also, here's some look at Contraband, the upcoming game from Avalanche Studios that's coming from there. Boom, here's these things. But don't miss our thing later this month or later in the year, where we're going to show off a ton of stuff. It still can make that Summer Game Fest event better. It can make that week-long celebration of games better and still not put all your cards on the table. You still can have your own event that is better. But I think, like, it's one of those things where, personally speaking, I feel like all the big heads, all the big companies should realize that having a week-long celebration and coming together, you know, putting the swords down for just a little bit is going to be better for the industry than continuously fighting throughout the year and just strictly abandoning this thing that has been so important to a lot of gamers in their gaming habits and history. And so that's where I, like, just draws me off, that when I say the other aspect that I didn't get to answer, but the question of how much is it for people to be forgotten? If you're running a company and you're not confident in the product that you're putting out will keep you in the forefront of conversations, then why are you running said company? Why are you creating said game? So I just find this potentially lack of wanting to play ball as detriment for the companies, but also detriment as us for gamers. But I want to ask you, Pete, before we kind of move on to our upcoming releases, if you were able to basically get everyone to come together for 1 week event, how would you build that event?
So I think I would start, I would try to make this an actual convention. But assuming that we're going to just make it a Summer Games Fest, first off, and I think this was probably between the two of us and probably a lot of people were disappointed about the showcase or the live stream, official live stream, whatever the hell they call it. What is the Summer Games Fest official live stream supposed to be? Because they called it a kickoff show. That wasn't a kickoff show. It didn't lead all the events of Summer Games Fest. The Summer Games Fest technically started, what, June 2nd, June 1st, something like that?
June 2nd. I think it was.
I know PlayStation State of Play happened. Okay, I didn't know if there was an event technically before that. Okay. The kickoff show was June 9th, so that's way after June 2nd. That is a week later. It was branded as it felt like it was originally supposed to be branded as like the big thing that the one thing you did not want to miss ever in the Summer Games Fest. That was the one thing you had to watch. But it didn't feel like that. But it didn't feel like a kickoff show. So what do you want that show to be? For me personally, you called it a kickoff show. I think it should be a kickoff show. So what I would do is for a virtual convention, I would try to schedule from going this year, Friday, June 2nd to Sunday, what would that be? June 11th, June 12th,
June 12th.
So either Saturday, June 11th, Sunday, June 12th, depending, and just have we'll have the kickoff show on June 9th. Maybe we'll have one other developer come on after that. But then each day would be like one huge developer or one huge company, whether it's like a Microsoft or they're focusing specifically on like an EA or they're focusing specifically, you know, whatever. Each day would be a major one of that. But then you'd have a couple of like smaller developer streams on those. Like you said, have a lot of these streams like focus, have some of these streams on. So like June 2nd. So if we're scheduling it, I'll make it a pseudo schedule. June 2nd is kickoff day. You'll have Jeff Keighley do his 30 to 45 minutes. Keep it as short. Don't make it a 2-hour spectacle, like a 30 to 45 minute thing. Just announcing all the streams, maybe have like a 30 second to a minute clip from each of this, like of something that might show up on there, or like a general, like itinerary of like what the plan for that day is. And maybe it's just like kind of like almost like just like a news show, like where you just have Jeff Keighley like sitting there with like one or two other like major content creators. Then they're sitting there and they're discussing. They're like, all right, this is a kickoff show. Welcome. You know, we got a lot to talk about. Let's get into it. June 3rd, tomorrow, Saturday. That is a PlayStation day. That's Sony day. We got the Sony State of Play coming up. That starts at 11 o'clock. Gonna run from until about 30 minutes, give or take. Might be a little longer, might be a little less, but it starts at 11 o'clock. Don't miss it. After that, they're gonna have a sit down with hour and a half later. They're gonna have a sit down interview, a 20 minute interview with The Last of Us, Neil Druckmann, talking about The Last of Us, talking about the HBO Max show, whatever you want to talk about. And then that's kind of like does that mean Last of Us 2 is going to show up on the State of Play, or are they going to do their own thing? Then, like a couple hours after that, it's not a Sony specific one, but bam, we got another developer stream. They're going to have a 20 minute thing. They're going to show their own little product that they're working on. Maybe it's like, you know, I don't even know, like a Trek to Yomi kind of thing or something like that, you know? They're going to show you some gameplay on that, what you can expect from that game. And then we're going to finish it off, you know, with, an interview with, like at 8 o'clock at night, the content creator, that's like known for streaming, Sony games or whatever. And we're going to talk to them, like, what'd you see during the day? You watched all the streams, like Jeremy, you're co-streaming all day. We'll just use for instance, Jeremy, you're co-streaming all day. Give us a rundown of what your likes, your dislikes, what you're super excited for, what you're looking forward to, and that thing. Boom. Go on to the next topic. All right. June 4th, Sunday. This is day X. And then you just go through. You'll have you'll use Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Wednesday as like days off because, you know, people during the week. And maybe you just like, if you want those to be days off, maybe you try to have like a virtual concert of some sort or something like that. Maybe it'd be better to have that schedule on like to be like a closing ceremony kind of thing on like the next Sunday. But that would be like the focus that I would do. The kickoff show would be a kickoff show. You'd probably have a closing ceremony. Each day would be focused on one major developer or one major company or developer. And then like you'd have a couple of minor ones. And you could just make this like a convention. You know how conventions, like you'll have sit downs with like, you know, hey, there's an hour convention with, Dwayne Johnson. He's going to be in Black Adam. I'm not saying this would be part of it, but, you know, at San Diego Comic-Con, we're going to have an hour long stage on stage F. We're going to have all the characters from Black Adam, all the actors from Black Adam. You're going to see Dwayne Johnson there and everybody else and the director, you know. For Last of Us, you could do that. They basically did it in the kickoff show, but have its own actual thing. So people that are interested in that can go and see that, you know, and then you do that for, you can do that for Three Emblems. Here's one. I actually just kind of thought of it myself because I follow a lot of voice actors. They talk about this all the time. Maybe Tuesday and Wednesday are focused on like live stream signing, art that they have, paid actual artists for it that they can sign and just send it to you. They call, I think it's like Streamily is like one of the places, or they'll do it on Instagram or TikTok or whatever they can stream on. And they'll just stream themselves like for an hour or so signing things that, people like, you know, send them money and stuff, their characters that they play games, you know, you get some like Faye Mata or, Troy Baker or, you know, whoever. And, you know, those are a couple of days you could have that. And like Tuesday and Wednesday when you're having like, we're not doing any reveals here, but you know, we got other big stuff going on. I think you need, if you're going to do that, I will say, I think you need like an actual like person to schedule all this. This is something like Blizzard. When I worked with Blizzard during BlizzCon, they would like spend the whole year and sometimes even a little longer planning and scheduling what they were going to do for a BlizzCon. And that was 2 days. And I understand this is more virtual, but like, if you want all this hammered down, this is probably going to take all year to actually plot and plan and figure out what exactly you're going to do. And so it would be a lot. But like you said before, you can make this a celebration of just gaming in general. Mm-hmm. And you know, just a celebration of gamers, of gaming, of things that people enjoy, because people enjoy games for different reasons. And like, they enjoy it for the games themselves, but also like the characters. They enjoy them for the story writing, the directors and stuff like that. Cause I mean, like you could even pre-record interviews like Nintendo Direct does with like maybe some of the developers and stuff like that, or the composers, and have them like necessarily do interviews and stuff like that too. So, I mean, there's a lot you can do, and I feel like that, like, they're coming up really short of like their action, what they could actually do if they really wanted to make this a celebration. And it feels kind of like a letdown. Like, not like they're like restricting gamers, because like, but like, it'd just be really cool to have an event like that. Like, E3 used to be that. They were even trying to open it general to the public. I know originally it was more just like sometimes content creators, and mostly just like news.
It was industry people and media.
Yeah, basically. And then they're like, towards the end, before the pandemic, they were trying to open it up for the public. So I think it'd be really cool to have an event like that, you know, just a huge Celebration of Gaming. It was a virtual one where you just did for a whole week.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying is kind of return to the old E3 format, but stretch it out a little bit more versus having all of the conferences up front before it gets to those conventions.
Yeah, if you're doing a
virtual
one, if you were doing a virtual one, yeah, I think it would stretch it out. If you wanted to just do an actual live convention, like I would just do it like, you know, like over the course of a weekend, like a maybe you try to stretch it to be like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday kind of thing, like half a Monday on Monday. But if you're doing like a virtual convention, I mean, you could, yeah, I think you could easily like just plot it to like, cause then like if people are like, I have an Xbox, I don't have a PlayStation. I don't necessarily care about PlayStation Day. But maybe there's a developer on there that like makes games for Xbox that I might be minorly interested in. So I'll check that out. The, like the replay of that or something.
Yeah. You know? So because of timing's sake, I'm going to make mine very quickly. So basically what I'm going to do is this. You set up exactly as you said, certain days or certain developers. So I'm going to use basically a week long thing. But I'm going to use Sunday to Sunday, right? Sunday is your kickoff show. Monday, you're going to have events in the morning, basically either competitions for various video games, or you partner with like Games Done Quick, and Monday is charity day basically. But you have this competitions and stuff in the morning. Obviously if it's an in-person event, you have booths going on, vendors, things of that nature. But the night caps with a developer. So let's say Monday is PlayStation. Tuesday, very similar aspect, but maybe in the beginning of the day you have music is kind of the focus of that day. Again, booths and stuff like that. But that day, the developer at the end of the day is a third-party developer. So let's say it's Ubisoft. Wednesday, another competition day. Things are going on during the day. It caps with Nintendo. Thursday, you might have a couple more third-party developers in this day, but maybe you open the day with like EA or Square Enix. You have some things go on, and then you end the day with, you know, obviously whichever one you didn't do. Friday, you do some things in the day, but this time it might be more around the voice actors and the artists and stuff of that nature that are in the game. Day ends with Xbox. Saturday, you go more to things again when it comes to the fact of like the esports aspects of to it. So maybe you have an esports competition that day, but you get to sit down and listen to and hear from some of these competitors that actually go through the various games and how they go through in their mindsets of said events. And then you end with another developer. Let's use Capcom, for instance, in this situation. And then on Sunday is the wrap-up show, where you're basically going to have, of all the developers that you had throughout the day, throughout the week, you're going to have them in that show, but it's going to be one announcement that they withheld from all of their things. And throughout that said day, you're going to have smaller developers. So it's going to be like, you know, your Freedom Games is going to be one of them. It's your Raw Fury, your Devolver Digital. And then it's going to cap the night with here's the 35-45 minute show featuring some of these other smaller games, as well as one big announcement from each of our providers throughout the day. Thank you so much for here. I look forward to you guys next year. And that's kind of the way I would bill it. Then that way you are still celebrating the various things. You're getting different aspects of their video game industry, because it's not just the games themselves, but it is the music, it is the artists, it is the developers, it is the voice actors. And then on top of it, nowadays, it is the esports artists that really make these games alive. And you celebrate them basically all throughout that week, capping it with a big finale go-home show to do.
Jeff Keighley, if you want great ideas like these and more, you can contact Jeremy Culver at Darsay28 on Twitch, or you can get a hold of PressStart28 on Twitch or Twitter as well, I should say. And yeah, you know, if you want more great ideas like that, go ahead and give him a call. I'm sure he'll be happy to work with you for the right price.
Yeah, and I did some event work before, so it wouldn't be anything out of my
look at
that.
Well, see, how you got get this guy on the listen to him. He's an intelligent human being.
All right. Well, if that were to ever happen and I would get hired by something, when will that happen? Who will ever know? But we do know what's coming up, the weeks that are coming on for video games, and I'm going to tell you all about what you could spend your money on with starting Friday, June 17th. You have Omori for PS4, Switch, Final Vendetta for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Oxide Room 104 for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Monday, June 20th, you have Summoner's Fate for PC. Tuesday, June 20th, 21st, you have Fall Guys for PS5, Xbox Series, Xbox One, and Switch. That is also the day that it switches to free-to-play, so, of course, all the other platforms that it's currently on, you'll be able to play it for free. Shadowrun Trilogy for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Wreckfest for Switch. Broken Mind for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Wednesday, June 22nd, you have Fire Girl Hack and Splash Rescue DX for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. The Caligula Effect 2 for PC. Death Smiles 1 and 2 for PC. Thursday, June 23rd, you have Deliver Us the Moon for PS5 and Xbox Series. Sonic Origins for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Rugnar for Switch and PC. And then Friday, June 24th, you have AI, The Somnium Files, Nirvana Initiative for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Capcom Fighting Collection for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes for Switch. And Madison for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Switch, and PC. Pete, any of these catching your eyes?
The two I'm focusing on the most are Sonic Origins. I know our buddy Isaac hates Sonic. He thinks he's a horrible, horrible character. And, you know, that when Sonic, Isaac and I meet, we might have fighting words over that. But other than that, you know, Isaac's a great person. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding about him being a great person. Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes. I understand that's not the prototypical Fire Emblems game, that one. It's not the tactics version. It's more like the hack and slash. I think it's what is it called? Dynasty Warriors.
Yes, Musou Fighters.
Yeah, that kind of that genre. But I like that genre. I thought the Gundam ones were really good, so I wouldn't mind being interested in that one as well. There's a couple other ones that I was looking at, but not necessarily like on the top of my list. So those are the two that I'm most interested in.
So for myself, Caligula Effect 2 is the one I'm most interested in. I want to get it for PS4 already, but of course the PC version is now coming out, and I know Caligula Effect, it overdosed the first one, which is overdoses the remake of the first one. It did not get the best reviews in aspects, but I enjoyed it. But Caligula Effect 2 is a much better, much improved version of the game as well. It's reviewed a lot better, so I would like to dive into that one at some point. And then AI, The Somnium Files, Nirvana Initiative. I loved AI, The Somnium Files, so getting a chance to dive back into it is, you know, with a new version on there is going to be great. I cannot wait to play that, but of course I won't be picking it up at launch. And then just some quick honorable mentions. Capcom Fighting Collection is going to be a blast, and Fire Emblem's Warriors 3 Hopes. I'm a huge Dynasty Warriors fans and the Musou Games fans, and I love Fire Emblem 3 Houses, so I am looking forward to that one. So
really quick, Is Nirvana Initiative just a sequel or half sequel?
It is a sequel.
That's what it looked like when I was looking at it. That was why I didn't have it on my list, because I wouldn't mind trying giving AI Somnium Files a try. But I was just like, well, the way you described it at first, I was like, wait, is that just like an updated version or something? That's weird. It seems like that game didn't come out that long ago.
Yeah, so. No, AI, The Somnium Files has been out for quite a bit, but Nirvana Initiative is the sequel to the game. Mm-hmm. You will be focusing on one of the characters that was younger in the original game. So it's one that I'm really interested to see how things unfold in that, because of how the finality of the first one was. But I'm glad that there's a new entry, because AI The Somnium Files is awesome. And as a quick plug, it is on almost all major platforms, as well as it is currently on Xbox Game Pass still, so you can go try it out and dive into it as well. But just keep in mind, it is a visual novel with some like adventure-esque tactics. But yes, it is very sexual innuendo filled, so please keep that in mind. But that is all that we have for this episode. Pete, before we head on off into the weekend, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with?
I'm so stoked about all the new designs for Street Fighter VI. We saw Chun-Li's new design, just looks really awesome. Ryu has sandals now. I don't know if you noticed, because I noticed when they revealed the first time, Guile has eyebrows now. That's dope. That is really sweet. And I can't wait to see some of the newer additions.
I love that you were so excited about eyebrows, but hey, you know what? Whatever tickles your fancy. For myself, I obviously we're recording this early, but I hope that the rest of the announcements this week are going to be great. And of course, when we come back the following week, even though it will be a week old by then, we likely are going to be talking about some of the announcements, maybe not whole showcases per se, but at least, of course, titles that got announced at those things. But make sure that you stick around for those various things. Make sure that you're subscribed and followed to us on our major platforms, as well as, of course, if you want the video versions to continue over on Spotify, which, yes, this video version is also on Spotify and on youtube.com/PressStart28. But as always, everybody, that has been the show. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcy. This has been the California Thirst Quencher, Pete Legia, and we really enjoy bringing this to you. As always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.